Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Mr. Olympic himself here.
Yes,
we're talking about joining the IDF. And also John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness, man. We are here. Welcome to our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and on the Gulf Coast. Yes, thank you for inviting us into your living room every Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. If you're listening by radio, understand that you can catch us on television on the CTN, WHBR on the Gulf Coast, plus our radio audience. I want to give a big shout out to our audience in Pakistan.
Yes.
Just hearing from you and you know your comments just greatly encourage us because, you know, here we are in America and we're like only 5% of the world's population. And to hear your voice, to hear your voice broadens our horizons, gives us such great hope and causes us to move on and in God. And so just thank you for communicating with us. Continue to write to us, give us a shout out, go to social media. Don't forget we have our Facebook. You can get to it at vfntv.com and go to our Facebook. We love from hearing from the folks in America too. But you think about it, we're only 5% of the world's population and God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And by our sponsors joining with us, as you see, and you can visit them at vfntv.com, you see them on television, you hear them on the radio, and our partners, the one who prayerfully and financially commits to us on a monthly basis, together, we're obeying the Great Commission. I mean, think about that. We're obeying the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, finally. Because 95%, think about it, 95% of regular church attenders, according to George Barna, will not win one person to God in their entire lifetime. It took a lot to bust out of that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, I'm not going to have another play. We're going to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, you know. Makes me think about the pastors on the Texas-Mexico border.
No doubt.
Right? Remember that?
No doubt. Yeah, they're working hard, man. They're getting involved. It says, listen, God didn't call us to sit on a pew and just stay here the whole time. It's about going. He said, go into all the world. And so they're doing it. They're reaching their border and reaching out to those children. It's beautiful.
You know, he said, you know, when and you can hear this again. I don't know if do we have that video clip right there where they can see this pastor saying that it's not about pews? Do you have that up yet?
I'm not sure what that one is.
Do you remember the y'all got to have that clip where the pastor is sitting at the table on the Mexican border about the immigrants coming over, and he says it's not about preaching to each other, it's not about pews, it's about going out.
Yeah,
you need eyes here, you need a father. Here's my love. I mean, you got to see this. You know, we'll have this available for you.
It's the same pastor, I believe, who had a child at home and said, talk to his wife and said, what do I got to do?
Right.
And he was there.
Yeah, he was faced with the reality. He's like, okay, it's really not about what I've been saying. It's not about coming to this building.
Right.
You know, if y'all could find that, that'd be great. I'd like to be able to show that. It's not about coming to this building, but it is about us going out. Jesus didn't tell us to preach to each other. He told us to go into all the world and to teach each other how to be a disciple. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ.
Sent one,
a going one, one that actually goes. Well, I'm going to work to get some more money so I can have some more stuff. And so we have to break out of this. And we're going to be talking today about, did you know the President Bush showed up on the mound? Did you know about that?
Yeah.
That was exciting, huh? Yeah, for Derek Jeter. I mean, is that a surprise or what?
Yeah.
You see him on the monitor and then all of a sudden he walks out. We're going to show you a President Bush, you know, congratulating a great player.
Based on his stats
and all that, Hall of Famer in baseball. Is it Texas Rangers? He used to own the Texas Rangers, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know that George W. used to own that? Was it the Texas Rangers?
Texas Rangers.
Sure enough. He looks like a baseball fan.
Well, great American sport.
Bring me a newspaper. It's going to be a while. Got nine innings.
Yeah.
I wish this was like hockey. It's much quicker, faster, penguinized, and all that kind of stuff. I know he wasn't listening.
That was a feeling. That was just a feeling.
One hockey fan, and he wasn't even listening. That's it. We're not going to bring up the...
They're busy.
Yeah, I think there's... Anyway, so also there's a prophecy given yesterday that was very encouraging.
At least
made available to us, talking about God is going to be... I mean, things are going to be... And we've been talking about this, and, you know, who wants to hear there's going to be rough times, except for the people who want to prepare for the rough times?
Yeah. Right?
Most people just want to be hit in the face like a windshield on a bug, right? Okay, I just want to act like nothing's going to happen till it happens, and then I'll walk around shocked, panicking, looking for cheese lines. I mean, this thing that's coming to the world is not, there's not going to be any cheese line that I you know, and I'm talking about food provision and that, because there's so much stuff going on. Which reminds me of this great man of faith that was standing in the cheese line. He told me, "You got to believe God. You know, you got to believe God. I mean, you just got to speak the word out. It's going to come to pass." And so he calls me up on the hurricane set, you know. And he calls me up. He says, "Man, there's a line over here. You can get provision and stuff like that."
Macaroni and.
Yeah, I'm like, "You're standing in a cheese line." I was believing what you were saying, man. No, it is, the truth is, sometimes you're in Goshen, you know, and sometimes the faith is to trust God in a time of Goshen experience, especially when we haven't done so well. You'll have to hold on in regards to the time of discipline and the things mm-hmm. that we're going through. Also, hopefully, we get a chance to go either today's or the next program. Is the timeline. How did we get? It's always, I found out, you know, even with yourself, you have to remind yourself of the timeline.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you tell people what you told them yesterday, and they go, "Oh, that's so good." And you go like, "Well, I just told you this yesterday." You know, it's just like, it's so discouraging, isn't it? And so you think about, Jesus is sitting here walking 3 years with his disciples, right? 3 years with them. And they still didn't get it until after he had died and rose from the dead. And still didn't get it when they're walking with him on the road to Emmaus.
Here's
right?
a quote. Are you so dull?
Yeah. Right. Do you feel your heart's burning right now? Any clue? You know, or you know, Mary, "I'm not the gardener. I'm God," right? "Don't touch me." Not yet. It's not before the time. And you think about that. And so he says, "I'll just go eat with these guys. I'll tell them one more time." And as he broke bread with the disciples, their eyes opened up and they realized, you know, this was the moment. And truly, that was more than likely the moment. And sometimes we give up on people because you got to tell them something over and over and over and over again. But there's a moment in their life when they realize, you know, and you got to be calm about this because they're going to act like that's the first time they've ever heard it. As a matter of fact, they'll probably hear it from somebody who was some transient that was coming through your community. You know, and I'm not talking negatively about evangelists, think they're great, but somebody that blew in, blew up, and blew out, and they say the very same thing that you said, and the reason why is because they read the same Bible, they told the same thing, and they go, "Man, you know," and that's a humbling moment for you is what that is, and just receive it. Hey, if they can see God,
right?
You know, it is totally 100% worth it. I don't know if that's it or not, that she's talking about something different. Mm-hmm. No, it's a different one. But the it's where the pastor is sitting on the edge of the bed talking to his wife, and he's saying, "Should I go down there and get in danger, baby?"
Yeah.
And she says,
Should I miss <You're> them? Right.
They're obviously not getting along in marriage counseling. No, anyway. "Why do you send me out to battle? We just need to defend this country." Anyway, so we even know, by the way, I know I'm sidetracking. I shouldn't do this. But we even know people that joined the military just to get away from their spouse.
Mm, this is true.
Isn't that something?
This
the
is
war
true.
Was more vicious and ferocious at home. Mm. You're going to give it away. What are you doing? You're smiling. You can keep it straight. Right.
I'm not saying
we're
nothing.
Just joking. It was not John. John was not going military. No. And Steve wasn't married, right? It's like, it's not right. The reason why he joins. Right. We're not talking about him either. And Chris and I know better. We're not going to get no war. No. But you think about it. They joined the war to be able to get away from the battle at home.
Yeah.
That's it. And so we need to be able to start having peace at home before we can try to get peace in the world. And the church definitely has to get there. But we're going to be talking about these things. But I want you to see this pastor who just nails it. And he's talking on the border with other pastors about the illegal immigrants that are coming over, but the children who have no choice but to what's going on. And if you haven't heard, you need to hear our perspective on that. You know, us as Christians, you know, we're not citizens of the world, but we're global citizens.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Global Christians.
Global Christians. And that we are called to love all folks and love on them, meet their needs and that type of thing. So a Christian response is what's taking place. So this pastor is dealing with that. And he's at a round table full of pastors and some other folks there. He was invited there, I believe, by, I always call him Alan Barton. Forgive me for that. But it's actually David Barton of Wall Builders.
David.
And the reason why is because Alan is a deputy that I worked with for years. And just Alan stuck in my head. The name stuck in my head with Barton. So every time you ever hear me say Alan, think about Alan on the street and pray for him as an officer. But also realize I meant to say David Barton, or you can just look for When We Know Better, We Do Better on the VFN Torch. Listen to this passion. This is going to encourage you. Then we're going to go to break.
We've been comfortable. All of these church leaders that are sitting here, we've been comfortable in pews and pulpits. The Bible never talks about pews. Jesus' greatest command was to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he sums it up in a great commission at the end of Matthew and at the end of Mark, not by saying stay and preach to one another, but go.
Awesome. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can a student use Christian music for a talent show at their school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
A friend of my daughter's tried out for their middle school talent show audition using a Christian song, and she was told she could be in the show, but she would have to choose another song, and I was wondering if that was an infringement of her free speech.
Tracy, it sure is. She's allowed to utilize in a talent show, in a presentation, a song that has religious content, a religious message, or a Christian song. In fact, there's Department of Education guidelines specifically on that point. Christian music is not banned when it's a student selection. They're allowed to make the selection. They could choose to include a Christian song as part of it. So again, as we just did previous call, we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get some help there. Again, if there's a talent show, the students are allowed to select the material. They cannot be banned simply because the material is religious in content or Christian in its orientation.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Let me tell you something, dying outside of knowing Jesus Christ, you will live in agony. Jesus calls it where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't care how many Bibles you have. I don't care how many empty, powerless buildings you build. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, and there's so much religion now, it makes you want to puke. It's like, where's the electricity here? Where's the power? He freed him from the agony of death. And if Jesus was under the agony of death, you don't think when you die outside of making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life that you won't suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth, the agony of death forever? I'll never forget this South African minister who died in a car accident. He went to hell. Reinhard Bonnke talks about it, and they have a video of him. And you know what he saw in the fire? It's going to shock you. You know what he saw in the fires of hell? Preachers! And you know what they were saying? Give the money back, right? Give the money back!
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Powerful moments from the VFN Dream Center. Make sure you catch us. We really enjoy our E members. E stands for eternal, right? Eternal
life.
E members around the nation. And you can join us at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. And what, VF FindFellowshipNetwork.org, actually, I believe, broadcasts live on there. And and by the way, the VFN Dream Center has launched our new our social media for
Facebook,
the VFN
page,
Dream Center,
yeah.
Facebook. And we just appreciate everybody that's connecting to us around the nation and around the world. And you're going to start seeing some things made available to you that comes out of the Dream Center. And of course, to all of our members, those that are e-members, you know, as you know, you have access to all these different things, but also our partners, those that partner with us on a regular basis, you have access to all these different things. It's not this thing about having to buy this or buy that. It's no, we make it available to all of our partners for VFN TV, the daily radio program. And, so if you want to have access to teachings such as positioning yourself to receive from God so you could be blessed.
Yes.
You know, when you want to, about the promise that God has given us, so many meaty now words that we need to have inside of us because we need to have the promise of God to do the work of God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so many things. That's available to those, all of our partners, and, of course, all the e-members that join us. But just, yeah, the social media has been launched for the VFN Dream Center. We're excited about that. Things are going to be unfolding there.
Get connected.
Get connected. Find out more at vfndreamcenter.org. Now, here, Israel, you're looking at the Middle East right now is suffering the consequences. I don't know if they're suffering the consequences from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who is seemingly after her tenure, the world's on fire. We came. He's dead, right?
That's right.
Libya, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And
you missed the last part.
That's kind of freaky, because God doesn't even rejoice over the death of anyone. And we should never rejoice over pain, agony, suffrage, or death, even of somebody who may have been real difficult, towards you, because eternity, it's over at that point for them and for us. Right. And so we just want to believe to the last moment. But CBN has a particular segment here. We want you to be able to see this because we're going to talk about a prophetic word that was given. But, what is going on? Is it time for Secretary of State John Kerry to push a reset button? And the last reset button that was pushed has brought us into the Ukraine being, trying to be taken over by.
The segment's not ready yet.
It's not ready yet? Oh, mm-mm. I'm not going to be able to have that. But we'll be talking about a prophecy, maybe this program or next program, about John Kerry. I mean, God spoke to me very specifically about Secretary of State John Kerry, that very time that he would be speaking live from the White House, and he did. Mm-hmm. And whatever he says would begin to take the Christians, the church, from equal playing ground, as a matter of fact, being actually a little bit ahead of his mindsets to all of a sudden on the bottom floor, and the minimalization of Christians and Jews. And here it is. That's exactly what happened. The best thing probably could happen with Senator John Kerry would be that
Secretary
boat.
Of State now.
Secretary of State John Kerry. What did I say?
Senator.
Wow. Because I actually just said something the other day. I'm like, oh my goodness. Understand everything don't always connect. But, when we know better, we do better. The, to just, it's a beautiful area up there. It's Massachusetts, And we buy lots of ketchup. You know what I'm saying? And no matter what, I am not going to stop putting ketchup on my fries.
No.
Unless I have got a direct word from God, I will stop.
There's a lot of water, too,
A lot of water. I'm thinking about the sailboat and the windsurfing and all that. Mm-hmm. We've got to do not be critical of him when he's relaxing. He needs a good 24 months of relaxation.
Absolutely.
Because when he's come over to Israel, he talked to Abraham, or you could say he talked to Isaac, or you could say he talked to Jacob, which his name is Israel, and he threatened them. He put these words out and said, you don't want another intifada, do you? Mm-hmm. Another uprising. Now, Israel, as you're about to see, is blessed. Their economy is doing well. They're probably the safest nation on the face of the earth because they protect themselves. It's amazing what's going on. It's like, why should they worry? Their economy is doing good. I mean, we were just having our little small little 0.5% of the population of the Middle East. Leave us alone. And then our Secretary of State goes over there and says, if you don't negotiate with the Palestinians who just merged their government, which I believe we're going to see on the timeline, or at least close thereof, with Hamas, who was shooting rockets today, I mean, you think about it. And that's what he was saying. He's saying negotiate with Hamas. It's important to understand that that these are very intelligent people. Because some people just go, that's just stupid, or that's just ignorant, or that's just... they're not ignorant, they're not stupid, and we should respect them in the context of who they are. But just don't... That just breaks off all ability to begin to understand what's going on. And God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Just saying something stupid is something that we do when we're 5, 6, 7, 8, or Second Street. But the, but you know, we don't, but we got to go beyond that. We got to find out it's not, something's not right here. And he was asking, and you could see this related link, hopefully that'll be a related link. He sat down with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and he said, you know, you're going to negotiate with the Palestinians. Why Hamas is right there. While they're digging tunnels underneath Israel. While they're digging tunnels underneath Israel. Prime Minister knew that. And believe me, if the Prime Minister knows they're digging tunnels, American government knows they're digging tunnels.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so they're telling you why you don't even know if you're going to fall in like a sinkhole down in South Florida. You know, you don't know if you're going to fall in through the tunnels that are underneath you. As these almost like termites are trying to eat their way in and snatch Israeli citizens. And which just recently they came out of one of those tunnels and shot a couple of Israeli soldiers just popping out and shooting. It makes you want to just kind of like just blow a whole trench and just pour it with full of something. But that's what Secretary of John Kerry is saying. And so we'll have a segment a little bit later on talking about that because we're talking about putting the reset button. But we got to quit saying that. You know, it's almost like every 5 minutes, it's resetting. It's resetting. It's resetting. It's resetting. Which just screams, which just shouts that this is Zelensky. This is Zelensky tactics. The rules for radicals. This is what you do. Everybody's trying to figure out one narrative and they go, oh, they almost figured it out. So they changed the other narrative. I mean, you look what was happening with the border, where all of a sudden the children were being led over the borders, and that was a conversation. But all of a sudden the church went down there, began to give them food and medical treatment and help. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let pastors in at first, reportedly, by the way. We have that on. They wouldn't let them in. This particular nun from Sacred Heart Church down there, she pressed her way in, and other ministers pressed their way in and said, we're going to be there to love on these kids, which blows the Zelensky narrative. But it's okay. According to Marshall Gantz on the Bill Moyer show on PBS, thank you, Public Broadcasting Network, that he says that organizers have to be schizoids. They have to be able to quickly shift. They really have no values. They're just shifting from argument to argument till they finally get to a place where things are so polarized they can then lay out the narrative they want. And it's like, oh, I'm just so glad you brought some help. You know, thank you so much. At least we're not. And you name these 50 narratives that was laid out. And it's like, we can't do that. We just really can't do that. Because we'll be talking about that prophecy. And because it's happening. And we can just wake up. We can just go, you know, I got it. I figured it out. And if we stand up, look at all the times that Israel stood up and they trusted God. And that's all, you know, just like Jehoshaphat, you know, they positioned themselves. They sought the Lord. They heard from the Lord. They got the strategy from God. They follow the strategy. They praise God for the victory that God was going to win for them. When they followed the plan of God, God won the victory for them. And by the way, he was being rebuked. Jehoshaphat, at that time, Israel was being rebuked for having the wrong kind of partnership in his life. He was going to commit and he was going to walk with Ahab. It's like, you know, we've got a truce here. You know, he's Jewish. I'm Jewish. You know, we serve the same God. Not always. Mm-hmm. And besides, you know, he's the northern, southern kingdoms and all that kind of stuff. And it's a reason why God separated that part of the kingdom out. Mm. There's a reason why Jehoshaphat, that God did that. Yeah. And sometimes we think, well, you know, this is all get along. And so that's what Jehoshaphat did. And Ahab came and said, hey, can you help me go out here and fight this battle against the radical Islam and ISIS? No, against the Philistines. And he says, yeah. Boom, I'm with you, man, all the way. We'll do this thing. Long story short, a prophet appears before Jehoshaphat and says, brother, you have picked the wrong partner, and the Lord is very disappointed in you, and you might live or you might not live. I just don't even know. I'm so disappointed in you.
Wow.
And there's a teaching on this. You can get all of our partners have access to this at vfntv.com. But listen, and what happened was he began to cry out to God, what do I do? And sometimes, you know, we get rebuked by God, and you know, he still, he disciplines those that he loves, and God's helping get us back on his track. There's some people just go, it's over, you know, but you know, I've messed up now. I've got a prophetic word says that, you know, I've got in trouble and I'm not going to do anything. No, look at what happens when God does that. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. He says, if you would have listened to my rebuke and you would have responded, and Jehoshaphat responded. He just went and prayed and positioned himself before God to receive from God, and God spoke and God gave him the strategy. And he just walked it out. By the way, the strategy was for God was going to fight his battle. He wasn't going to fight the battle, but he was going to believe his God was going to fight the battle. And he was going to lead people in that belief that God was going to fight the battle. And he was going to go thank God in advance for the victory that he was going to have over the enemy. And when God got all the glory and when he got his home back in order, the Jehoshaphat's people that he was over back in order started with himself, then God defeated his enemy. Think about it. God defeated the enemy of Israel. And you think about it. Why was the enemy coming against America? I mean, why was the enemy coming against Israel at that time? It's because its leader messed up. Its leader chose a wrong partnership. And it makes me think of this. Why in the world do we, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, why do we pick the partner called the Muslim Brotherhood? Think about it. And why can't we receive a prophetic rebuke? Why can't we just go hear from God? God's go, what were you thinking? Repent. You know, just stop that relationship. Go seek me and listen to what I'm going to say to begin to re-strategize this whole nation. But think about it. But you can't stay in a partnership with Ahab and think that it's going to end well. It's not going to end well. And Jehoshaphat did, and God won the victory for Israel. They had peace again. And what happens is they were praising God because he said, the battle's not yours. Because he did some things, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's, but it's time for you to praise God. There's a lot to that. I mean, he humbled himself. He repented. He turned. He brought everything in order, in alignment. Got his house in order. Got the kingdom in order. And then he got the instructions of the Lord, and he went. And they're praising God. And as they were praising God, before they even made it over the mountains of Lebanon, before they even made it over the mountains that surround Israel, think about it. When they peeked on the other side, their enemy was already defeated already. So many people are thinking physical strength, and we got to physically respond. Yeah. We got to physically do something. No, you got to physically repent. You know, we got to say, dear God, we were wrong. And we got to begin to be his disciple again, or for the first time. And then we got to abide with him. Go to iabide.org and get your plan today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, but we're not doing it. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on. Because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, yes, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We have some very, very sad news. John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's a news agency that captured this moment, you know, in a time of war. We got to appreciate that this... when soldiers are leaving family, they're leaving businesses, they're leaving their way of life. And in Israel, many of those IDF soldiers have made that commitment. And there was a photographer working for a leading Israeli news site, and she was able to capture a picture.
Well, this is him before. I mean, this is who we're talking about.
Right.
The soldier's name is Sergeant.
Staff Sergeant Ida Briga, forgive us for the...
of the Israeli Defense Force.
Correct. And he was saying goodbye to his girlfriend, and they were hugging for about 30 minutes, she says, just to say goodbye as he was going off to war. And
and this is the last picture shown of him before he gave his life in the cause of the defense of Israel.
Yeah. And moments later, he lost his life in the same, almost nearly in the same spot that they were hugging. And the photographer did not know that this picture was being captured, or, you know, that who would have thought that this soldier would die in the very same area that he hugged his girlfriend for the very last time. She hadn't seen him in 2 weeks prior to this, and she was bringing his friends and him some food. Mm-hmm. And this was the last time she could, you know, she wanted to see him before he left.
This is Staff Sergeant
Ida Briga.
Ida Briga. Father God, we just lift up that whole family and friends, that you would comfort them. We need to pray for the Israeli Defense Force that's going into this hornet's nest, that if you look strategically at the history that we're going to show you in just a moment, the timeline, how we got here, America had a lot to do with potentially getting to this, leading the Middle East to this point. Our leaders did, because you look at Secretary of State John Kerry and what happened prior to that. You look at the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She went and negotiated with Egypt for Hamas, and I don't know, at that time it was Morsi. Was it Morsi was the president at that time?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Muslim Brotherhood.
Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, yeah, she went in there. She sure did.
And reportedly, the Hamas is really the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. So far apart that it's kind of hard to, if it wasn't, I mean, if there was a record of the not the jizya, but the 1/6 of the zakat. Thank you. That was very good.
Yeah.
And he's like, cutting edge, which is, money's given for different things in Islam. Maybe it's given towards that whole arena there. Mm-hmm. But it's these
of course,
things,
which our president was trying to find, you know, a 501c3 status for, which didn't go through.
Because 1/6 of it is according to the Quran, is to go towards war, or jihad.
Jihad.
Jihad. And so the narrative about jihad today, people are going, well, that's just like your, it's like fasting. It's like personal struggle. I totally would get that if it wasn't for the suicide bomber or the tunneling agents. And these, so that's radical. Mm-hmm. That's radicalism. That's not most Muslims. That's not their, don't fall to the trap of saying that all Muslims are this way and they're not, but they are silent. And according to Michelle, is it Michelle?
Bridget Gabrielle.
Yeah, that always the silent majority are irrelevant. They're not going to say anything at all. Mm-hmm. But it would be very helpful right now if true peaceful Muslims who don't believe in radical Islam, which is according to Bridget's 15%, which is 300 million radical, the population of America,
right?
Important. You know, mm-hmm. when they're looking, and we were just yesterday, just recently, you can go get it on the VFN Torch, listening to Bill O'Reilly from Fox News go down this list of going like, hey, it's getting very fearful. Mm. Listening to Congressman Jeff Miller talk about it's getting scarier. I mean, you're waiting for this profound statement. And Congressman Jeff Miller, great man, godly man, he's the one helping resolve this VA crisis in Washington, D.C., you know, says that it's getting scary. It's like we're leaning forward. And he goes, it's getting scarier. It's getting scarier. You may say, yeah, I've actually said that before, but you have to understand we need to get that.
Yeah.
Because that wakes us up. It wakes you up. And all of a sudden you realize, wouldn't it be neat if we knew the hurricane was coming?
Mm.
I mean, I've stayed during a hurricane before.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're waiting for that.
Y'all hear that? The producer has spoken.
It's like, let there be light.
A sound has come from the producer. We are so encouraged. And you want to expound on that?
Yeah, I mean,
it was rough.
That no way.
Never again.
I tell you, yeah. Oh,
but you even had foreknowledge, didn't you?
We knew it was coming.
We knew it was coming. And so, what would you do differently now that you know a hurricane's coming?
Pack my bags and leave town.
But you think about it. It's such a simple thing to do. And leave town a little bit earlier than Bill did.
Yeah.
Hilarious. A friend of mine, Bill, was waiting to the last moment to leave. And we had plenty of hurricanes to be able to work this out.
Right.
I forget which one he was going in. But he waited too late.
Mm-hmm.
And so he calls me. He's like in Birmingham, 65 or something, with his family, 15 generations in one car. I'm still on the road, you know, And so you're thinking, well, at least I'll get to a hotel, right? And when he gets to the hotel, of course, the whole world's moving. And so there was only one room. And so you had to have one room for three generations in one room.
Wow.
And you got to know Bill. That's very, very funny. That's very hilarious. So there was no room for the hair dryer, the mousse,
or all that gel,
or those boots. I think it was none room for that. Anyway, so we want to go through the history here of a quick timeline provided by AIPAC, which stands for America-Israeli Relations, is what it's organization that keeps us our toes on the line of relationships with business.
Action Committee, I believe.
Yeah, Action Committee. And but watch this timeline. It'll really help you out. And we got this available to you, for you right now on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch, and you'll notice that drop-down menu. You have in this drop-down menu, you have Israel is one of the choices. And mm-hmm. so you'll find everything that we're talking about, Israel. Hopefully we try to get it right there. And but we're going to go through this, and it's going to carry you all the way from 2005. Can you make that a bit bigger for everybody one time at least? And so and John's going to read us through this, and this is important because we need to know how we got here. How did we get here? John, can you carry us through this?
Yep. Israel under attack. A dramatic escalation in Hamas rocket fire forced Israel to take action against terrorists in Gaza. Gaza terrorists have fired more than 450 rockets at Israel since the beginning of the year. The attacks have sent thousands running into bomb shelters, threatening 3.5 million Israeli lives. Since Israel withdrew from Gaza in 2005, terrorists from the Strip have fired more than 8,000 rockets into Israel. Although Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system stops some of the attacks, most rockets are capable of reaching Israel's biggest cities. More than 500,000 Israelis have less than 60 seconds to find shelters after a rocket is launched from Gaza into Israel. Many have only 15 seconds.
So realize that right there is August 2005. So we're beginning this conversation. Mm-hmm. We're going to work our way to what's happening right this moment. What's the battle called? The edge, the Operation Protective Edge.
Protective Edge.
So understand, they pulled out. Israel pulled out of Gaza. That's what everybody says they needed to do, right? Mm-hmm. When they pulled out, what happened? Tunnels and all these kind of things started happening. Yeah. So listen up. This is the next one.
So in 2005, disengagement from Gaza. In August 2005, Israel withdrew all forces from and dismantled all Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip. Since withdrawing from Gaza, Israel has been forced to live under the constant threat of rocket attacks. Hamas has refused ceasefire agreements and remains committed to the destruction of the Jewish state. The disengagement of Israel empowered Hamas and allowed for Palestinian terrorists to rebuild their terrorist infrastructure.
So that's August 1st, 2005.
Right. Now, disunity of Palestinian Authority.
This is June 10th, 2007.
Correct. Hamas overthrow of Fatah. In the 2006 Palestinian legislative elections, Hamas won 76 out of 132 seats.
It's important to understand because why is Hamas there today? It's because they ran and they won.
And they won. They were elected.
They voted for this particular form of government.
So they won 76 out of 132 seats, deposing the former ruling party, Fatah, which only won 43. In June 2007, Hamas fighters took control of the Gaza Strip and removed Fatah's officials. The battle resulted in the dissolution of the unity government and the de facto division of the Palestinian territories into two entities. In the West Bank, governed by the Palestinian National Authority, and Gaza governed by Hamas. You have that, you know, that separation there, which explains a whole lot right now.
Mm-hmm. So running Hamas out of Gaza is like, this is ours.
Right.
It's governed by Hamas,
right,
according to that. Okay.
What is Hamas? Founded in 1987 as an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas is an Iranian-backed terrorist organization that is responsible for hundreds of deaths, including more than two dozen Americans. And then there's some list below of some of the attacks and some of the things that they have were able to do.
That's important to understand that it is Hamas is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood supported by Iranian-backed terrorists. So yeah. Iran's involved in this. Magog, as you'd say, biblical prophecy.
Right.
And, of course, Iran has ties to Russia, and Russia has ties to Syria, and so the network kind of continues to spread on out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
December 27, 2008. Is Operation Cast Lead. Between 2000 and 2008, more than 8,000 rockets and mortar shells were fired at civilians in Israel by Hamas and other Palestinian extremist groups. This barrage of fire deliberately endangered the lives of over a million people. On December 27th, Israel launched Operation Cast Lead, aimed at reducing Hamas's ability to harm Israelis. 3 weeks of engagement brought a significant decrease of rocket fire into Israel and weapon smuggling into Gaza. Unfortunately, it was not long until Hamas rebuilt an infrastructure and continued its attacks on Israeli civilians.
This so makes sense. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
John, one of my last jobs, you know, as a deputy sheriff was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory.
I was like, okay. It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids needed just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together, go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in mm-hmm. your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And of course, I know what a hook is and I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but it'd go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green, and I thought, this is it. I am almost there. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point. But this is what happened. That's why I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet, and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked, obviously. His hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. Nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John and I are going through this timeline that AIPAC put together, explaining how we got from 2005, where you had the West Bank was ran by the Palestinians. You had the Gaza was ran by Hamas. They voted for that.
Well, both of them were together.
But when they merged together, their governments together, which you just heard, then now you have basically the West Bank and Gaza now both in that Hamas being funded by and ran by the Muslim Brotherhood. Secondly, funded by Iran.
That's right.
Thirdly, if you don't know this or not, who's involved in American government now. And who we actually empowered in Egypt.
Yeah.
So this is a Muslim Brotherhood thing. So let's keep watching.
Okay, November 14th, 2012, Operation Pillar of Defense. In response to incessant rocket attacks on the Gaza Strip, the IDF launched a widespread campaign against the terror targets in Gaza. Operation Pillar of Defense was launched to end the attacks on Israeli citizens. But for the first time ever, Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist groups fired long-range rockets toward Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. The 8 days of the operation affected more than 3.5 million Israelis, with the Palestinian terrorist groups firing more than 1,506 rockets at Israel.
Well, think about that. So this is November 2012, so we're moving along. Yeah. Timeline to today.
July 7, 2014. Israeli citizens endure over 450 rockets from mid-June to July 7th.
So that's this year. We jumped all the way up. But remember, it started in 2005. So now we're beginning to understand, oh, now we see. And right. The sad thing about it, when you're thinking about this, is what is America doing? Did we threaten an intifada?
Yeah.
Did we threaten that? And the government that Hamas beat, they both were, you know, they both were
together,
terrorist
so, yeah.
governments. And so... reports are. And so here we are. We are really a player in this thing. Mm-hmm. We're a player. We put the pressure. We are organizing the Middle East, it looks like. It looks like Alinsky. So now here we are. Boom. July 7, 2014, 450 rockets. Keep on going.
Since Operation Pillar of Defense in November 2012, Hamas has continued to arm itself with vast amounts of weaponry. In the last 3 weeks, Hamas fired over 450 rockets, endangering the lives of 3.5 million Israelis.
Wow. Let's keep moving.
More than four times as many Gaza rockets have fired. This is July 8th now, 2014. More than four times as many Gaza rockets fired as at Israel in 2014 than the entire year of 2013.
Four times as many. Let's keep moving. We're moving along.
July 8, 2014, IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, launches Operation Protective Edge.
It's sort of like Protect Me. Makes sense now. Yes.
Operation Protective Edge is the third time Israel has been forced to launch a campaign against the Hamas terror since 2005 withdrawal from Gaza.
So the third time since Hamas came into power, voted in
and
by the Palestinian
And they gave them
folks.
That piece of land and they came out of it.
Right.
Over 800 rockets were launched in 2 weeks before the operation commenced. Hamas has now has more sophisticated missiles than ever before, placing 5 million Israeli citizens in the range of rocket attacks.
And some of that, it says, made in Iran. Mm.
July 8, 2014, Hamas encourages Palestinians living in Gaza to act violently against Israel. Ismail Haniyeh, prime minister of Hamas, says, "This is a nation of martyrs who sacrificed their children, their sons, for the sake of Palestine."
And so there you go. That's what they're actually, they are the frontline defense their whole lives. Mm. If they, this is the real thing. The second the Palestinian people love their children more than they hate Israel, this thing will be over.
Oh, man. Wow. July 8, 2014, kindergartens take cover as Hamas terrorists fire rockets at Israel. Mm. Hamas spokesman, and they've been saying several things. July 8th, again, 2014, rocket sirens sound in Tel Aviv for the first time since Operation Pillar of Defense of November 2012. Which shows the capacity to reach now larger cities with increased rockets.
Wow.
July 8, 2014, 8:35 p.m., terrorists attempt to infiltrate a military base in southern Israel. Hamas terrorists attempting a landing on Zakim Beach across from an IDF army base and exchange fire with IDF forces.
Watch this.
July 8th, 2014, 10:50 p.m., Gaza rocket strikes Israel's capital city of Jerusalem. July 9th, 12 a.m., in 24 hours, 117 rockets strike Israel. The Iron Dome missile defense system successfully targeted an additional 29 rockets that would have hit populated areas. July 9, 2014, 8:45 a.m., Iron Dome intercepts two rockets over Tel Aviv. Since the start of the operation, 155 rockets have been fired at Israel. July 9, 2005, Iron Dome intercepts three rockets over Ashdod. One more. Iron Dome has intercepted a total of eight rockets fired from Gaza. July 9th at 2 p.m., Iron Dome intercepts rockets over Kiryat Gat. July 9th, 2:50 p.m., rocket sirens sound in Zikron Yaakov, And Zikram Yaakov is located about 75 miles from Gaza. This is showing the length and the different rockets. And we've seen
Manila.
Also, at 4 p.m., July the 9th, 48 rockets strike Israel since midnight. Iron Dome intercepted an additional 14 rockets of the ones, and it's identified as targets.
So we're going to have to pick this up in our next program. Make sure you catch it, because things are happening quicker and quicker on this timeline. But it helps you to understand how this came to pass. We need to understand that we're being lied to. We're being lied to by leaders, and Israel is the one suffering for it. And by the way, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. They're the time clock. They are the apple of God's eye. Understand, we need to stay alert, watch and pray, and stand up for Israel. And standing up for Israel is standing up for what God said for us to do. More on our next program. Make sure you catch us. God bless. Find out more at VFNTV.com.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.